Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a Very Stable podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Reed. And if you'd like, give me a follow on Twitter, Nice Reed Steve. You can also follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Thanks, everybody. This is now going to be the second episode. The first one, a little shaky to start, to be totally honest with you. It's always fun to get into this. There's going to be some hiccups along the way. I hope you'll stick with me. So today what we want to talk about is some foot injuries that's happened in camp. Also, the options that the Colts have with Carson Wentz being out. And then some surprises that we've seen so far at camp. And some things that you can kind of look to, see what's going on. And some things to get excited about going forward. So with the Colts and the foot injuries, you just come into it and you're like, man, what the foot? This is ridiculous. You've got Carson Wentz that goes down with a freak injury. He has to have surgery. Looks like he's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks is what they've said. And then the very next day, Quentin Nelson goes down with the exact same foot injury. It's just mind-blowing that such a rare injury can happen within 2 days of camp, right there at the beginning of camp. It makes you wonder, you know, a little bit, maybe is Grand Park haunted? Is there like a curse that Peyton Manning has put on this franchise because every quarterback since then has had some issues? But you know what? It is what it is. I'd much rather have those guys go down with injuries now to start the season versus have them have these injuries during the season, because I'd much rather have them miss the preseason and then have them miss a big portion of the regular season. And so the frustrating thing with Carson Wentz is, like we said on Monday, he had a great first couple days of camp. It really got Chris Ballard excited. He was noted as being just elated with how Carson Wentz has played and how excited he was that basically he only gave up what was looking to be one first-round pick and a third-round pick to get 4 years of just really quality quarterback play from Carson Wentz. Then obviously that foot injury happened, so you got to kind of deal with it. And the Colts right now are trying to work their way through it. You hope that they're going to be really conservative with Carson Wentz, given his injury history, and that he doesn't seem to be as he has issues in terms of staying healthy. And so hopefully that they will be a little bit more cautious with Carson Wentz than what they would be, say, with just an absolute maniac like Quentin Nelson, who, mind you, Quentin Nelson had the same injury. The good thing with both of those situations is that both of them had surgery. Both of them, they said that the surgery was pretty standard. There wasn't any kind of other issues that they found when they went in and did the surgery. So they're looking, you know, pretty excited about what's going on there. Quentin Nelson, again, you love him. You love who he is as a person, who he is as a player. The dude is so intense, and so it's really exciting, you know, that he is, it's not exciting that he's injured, but like his mindset about coming back from the injury is pretty cool. He posted on his Instagram account, "No time for pity, F that. Truth is, I'm thankful for the early part of the timetable says 5 weeks. That gives me 5 weeks to do everything I can physically and mentally to be ready to go week one and smash these goals." So for any of those opponents there in Seattle, or I think the Rams, Aaron Donald is really looking forward to going against Quentin Nelson, but for Seattle and, you know, potentially Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore, any of those teams that thought that they were going to get a pretty easy route at being able to avoid Quentin Nelson to start the season, it looks like that's not going to be the case. So Quentin Nelson seems like, since there weren't any other complications on it, it seems like he's probably going to be more on the quicker side of that timetable, because first off, he's just kind of an athletic freak. I expect him to be able to come back, and it would be pretty, I feel like it's going to be a quick recovery for Quentin Nelson. I think their Colts are going to be cautious with both those players, because ultimately you're looking at this long term. Quentin Nelson's about to get a new deal, so you want to make sure you're protecting your asset there for the next 10 years versus, you know, having a two game window here. So I think Quentin Nelson's going to be back a little bit sooner. I think Carson Wentz, they're probably going to be a lot more cautious with, just because of his injury history and what they're going to ask him to do in terms of mobility outside the pocket. So the question is, what should the Colts do at this point? And you've seen a lot of national media. I know Mike Tannenbaum, who was a failed executive for multiple NFL franchises, said that the Colts need to immediately trade for Nick Foles. That's poppycock to me. I don't think that they should do that at all. Dan Orlovsky went ahead and dismissed all of those arguments for trading for Nick Foles and how he is not an upgrade over Carson Wentz and potentially not even an upgrade over Jacob Eason. He's been like, Nick Foles was something like the 28th quarterback in the NFL. He's thrown for like 17 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, something along those lines, where it's not great in his 2 years of starting there in Chicago. So what do you think that Nick Foles brings that you can't get from somebody else? Nick Foles is not going to be familiar with this offense. Even Carson Wentz said when he came in to Frank Reich's office that there's some familiarities about it, but it's not the same. And so Nick Foles is going to have to learn an entirely different offense that he's going to have to learn that terminology. And I'm sure he's a smart guy. He went out and in his press conference in Chicago openly basically said to the Colts, hey, please come get me. Please come save me. And so I thought that was just really, really interesting as just from the jump to have a player come out and say that they're wanting a team to actively trade for you while you're still employed by another team. It's kind of mind-blowing. It's really kind of funny that that happened. So I don't think that Nick Foles is the right choice for on the field and then also for off the field. You have that issue with Nick Foles having the statue outside of Philadelphia, despite Carson Wentz being by far the better quarterback that season and putting them in a position to have the number one seed in the NFC and host that home game there in Philadelphia, which ultimately allowed them to go to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And yet Nick Foles is the one that everybody remembers. And Nick Foles is the one that's got the statue outside because Nick Foles was the one who won the Super Bowl. And it's a really tough sell to go ahead and get Nick Foles and give up anything of value to go get him. Because you're looking at this from a timetable and you think Carson Wentz is going to be out 5 to 12 weeks. You're hoping that he's going to be back right around that week 3 to week 7 range. And so do you give up anything of value for a short-term replacement when you've got a starting quarterback that you believe in already on the roster? So what's the point in giving up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick, something like that, to go get Nick Foles when he's not going to be an upgrade and he's not going to be your long-term starter? There's a very different situation, and Mike Tannenbaum talked about how when he was a GM and Ryan Tannehill went down with an injury, they went out and traded for a guy and gave up some compensation. And the difference was in that situation, Ryan Tannehill went down with an ACL injury, was gone for the year. Dan Orlovsky went ahead and totally flattened Mike Tannenbaum's argument here and noted that Ryan Tannehill was out for the year, so they had to get somebody. In this situation, Carson Wentz isn't going to be out for the entire year. He's only going to be out for a little bit of time. And so the Colts are going to have some options there. And I would say, and I think the Colts are on the same boat, is I'd rather see what Jacob Eason can do. Frank Reich said today that Eason's got basically all the arm you could ever imagine. He's got stuff that you just can't buy in a quarterback. You can't teach, you can't buy. He's got this arm talent that's just absolutely amazing. You saw it in training camp. A couple of throws that he's made that are just wow throws that you go, wow, I just don't know. I don't know who else can make that. And so I would much rather them go ahead and go with Jacob Eason in this, see what you've got. You spent a 4th-round pick. You're going to have him go ahead and start a handful of preseason games, and you're going to get an opportunity to really see what he can do. And that's the biggest thing. That's what you want out of Jacob Eason, because you need to find out whether he's the long-term answer as your backup quarterback, whether he could be a potential starter, or whether he has any trade value down the road. And so that's the biggest thing for Jacob Eason is to come in. Today, he was better in training camp. He went, I think, 9 for 12 and was able to make a lot of really good throws. His decision-making is coming together. He's throwing some balls in some tight windows, and you really got to love his progress so far. Yeah, he was really slow to start, but he's starting to pick it up, and you're starting to see him become more and more comfortable. Now, another name that has cropped up in the ether of potential options for the Colts is Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is currently coaching his son's high school football team. Now, I don't know whether his son is actually in high school yet or not, but Phillip had made the comment to Sam Farmer of the LA Times that he might be open to coming back. He hasn't totally closed the door, but he said he wanted to come back late in the season for a potential team that, on a Super Bowl run if somebody got injured. So that really isn't what the Colts are looking for right now. The Colts right now need a guy to start the season. They need somebody that's going to be able to keep them afloat for those first five or six games until Carson Wentz is back. And Phillip Rivers would be an absolute great option for that. But in doing that, you're giving up a lot of your cap space. You're not able to see what Jacob Eason can do. So really, if that were an option the Colts were going to consider, they would probably only do that if through 1 or 2 weeks of the preseason, or 2 to 3 weeks of the preseason, you're not comfortable with what Jacob Eason brings. And so at that point, you make that call and you find out whether Phillip Rivers is available, whether he'd be able to make it work. The other issue is he's coaching high school football. High school football, you've got practice every single night. You got games on Friday. And so there wouldn't be a lot of opportunity for Phillip Rivers to be able to make that work, given that he's down, I believe, in Alabama. And so it's going to be really difficult for him to make it work from that standpoint. It's a little bit different from when his family lived in San Diego and then he was making the daily drive up to LA. The difference here is that he actually has a job that he's working at as a high school football coach. So it makes it really difficult for him to make that transition from high school football coach to NFL quarterback on basically a daily basis. And so I'm sure Jim Irsay would go ahead and give up his private jet or allow Phillip Rivers to use the private jet to be able to get here and there, get back after the Friday night games, everything like that. But it just doesn't seem real feasible until after the high school football season is over. And once the high school football season is over, hopefully this issue is not a Colts issue anymore. And that you've got Carson Wentz, he's back in there, he's starting, and you feel really confident about it. So those are really the main options. People have talked about trading for Marcus Mariota. People have talked about, you know, potentially trading back for Jacoby Brissett. Please no. I'd much rather start Jacob Eason, not give up any assets, than trade him any kind of anything of value for somebody that's ultimately going to be a short-term starter. And that's really where it comes from, is I don't want a guy to give up anything for a guy that's going to be here for 4 or 5 weeks until Carson Wentz comes back. So I'd much rather the team roll with Jacob Eason, see what you've got. It's really important to find out what he can do and whether he really is an option for them as a long-term backup quarterback, or whether he has any value for them going forward as a trade or otherwise. So let's talk about some surprise things that's happened at camp so far. A couple guys that have really stood out so far is Ben Banigou and Quiddy Pay. Quiddy Pay is just as advertised, like we said last week or on the earlier episodes. Quiddy Pay should never have been there at 21. I'll continue to harp on that. He's got the speed and ability. Coach Baker has said that the way that Quiddy Pay practices is far beyond his years. The Colts really, I think, gotten an absolute just gold nugget, diamond steal out of Quiddy Pay there. You also want to talk about Ben Banigou. He has, every single day of camp, he has put up a sack. He's stacked days on days, which is exactly what you want out of him coming into year three. This is a year three, year four. It's a huge year for him. And I said, you can go back and listen to any of the podcasts that I've been on. Ben Banigou has all the talent. He just hasn't gotten the opportunity. And last year it was because Justin Houston was there. And so he just wasn't able to get in and get an opportunity to play. And he wasn't able to even really crack the roster because of the logjam there at the defensive end position. Now that he's getting snaps, he's getting an opportunity. He's really showing what he can do and showing that he deserves this shot to start to be a, maybe not a starter, but be in there and be on the active game day roster, get an opportunity to play that defensive end. He's a guy that's going to put in all the work. He continues to put on in work every single day, and he's going to continue to grow. So I think Ben Banigou has a great opportunity this year to be somebody that's a kind of a surprise candidate to come up on the defensive side of the ball this year. On the offensive side, Michael Strawn, that wide receiver, seventh round wide receiver, is making it really hard for Chris Ballard. And he's got that, like I said, prototypical size, speed, strength profile that you really like in those D2 wide receivers. And while he's at Charleston, he dominated the competition there. Just absolutely dominated it. And that's what you want to see out of these D2 guys. And then after going through and dominating there at Charleston, he went to the combine of West Virginia and absolutely crushed it there. He was the show. So the Colts took a swing on him, and every single day at camp, he's shown that he deserves to be there. And this is kind of what you saw with guys, and I wouldn't want to make this in comparison because it is a little bit of a reach. But it's the same thing you saw with guys like Terrell Owens, with Randy Moss, with Jerry Rice. Guys that came from small schools that dominated the competition at small schools, with the exception of Randy Moss, like Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice went later in the draft because of the fact that they didn't go up against great competition all the time. And so Michael Strawn kind of fits into that Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice kind of mold in giving them an opportunity to really show what he can do on a daily basis. And he's doing it. He's absolutely doing it. He's showing every single day that he deserves it. And he's going to make this back end, this wide receiver position, this last cut, it's going to be tight. And I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody like Desmond Patman potentially not make the roster if they're only able to keep six. The other thing that might be an option is a potential trade of somebody like a Zach Pascal, just because Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely love Zach Pascal, or Nick Sirianni did. It was like one of his favorite wide receivers. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see a potential trade there between the two teams. It just kind of makes sense if Desmond Patman can come up and be able to take that role. If they don't feel comfortable with Desmond Patman and his development, then there's no way that they're moving Zach Pascal at all. Quite honestly, if you're going to make me choose right now at the wide receiver position, you're looking at T.Y., Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal, Ashton Doolin, and then one of Michael Strawn or Desmond Patman. I'm probably putting this at Michael Strawn at this point in camp, and this is the Duron Carter award for this year's camp, or Deion Kane award, whatever we want to call it. Some guy that everybody really likes at the back end of the roster that ends up making it, or that we just fall in love with, doesn't make it and just totally flames out. Hopefully that doesn't happen with Michael Strawn. I don't think it will. But yeah, so that's what we've got today. Talked about the foot injuries, talked about some surprises at camp, some good stuff that we've seen so far. Again, thanks for listening. This is a very stable podcast. I'm Stephen Reed. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. Follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Have a great day, guys, and I will talk to you soon.